It is. The National Finance Committee recommends the KPFA budget to the Pacifica National Board for approval with the following provisos. One, that the KPFA business manager adjusts the budget to account for depreciation expense in accordance with the depreciation motion passed by the NFC. Two, that the PNB approve the following measure recommended by the KPFA LSB, which is, quote, windfall income at KPFA, e.g., from reinstated CPB funding, shall be applied toward reducing total days in fund drive toward a target of 60 days per year, unquote.
That is the motion we're voting on. Mr. Secretary, could you please call the roll?
Okay. All right, Lydia Bazan.
Yes.
Adriana Kasanov.
Abstain.
Bill Crozier?
No.
Brian Edwards-Tiekert?
Yes.
R. Paul Martin, abstain. Tony Norman?
Yes.
Michael Novick?
Yes.
Serene Roberts?
Abstain.
Nancy Sorden?
Yes.
Barbara Whipperman. Okay, 5-4, 1 against, 3 abstentions.
Motion passes. Ladies and gentlemen, we've approved our first budget. 6 to go. Our next item is KPFK. Is the KPFK General Manager on the call?
Yes, she is.
That is the voice of Leslie Radford, for the record.
Do you need me anymore?
No, you know what? All we need you to do, Marie, is make that depreciation adjustment to the budget so we have a clean copy to send out to the PNB. And in the analysis columns, you have on the cash and capital line in previous years numbers that are clearly from somewhere else.
The capital, line 41?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take a look at that. Yeah, those. Not sure where those came from, but okay.
It's not affecting the budget. It's just the prior year's analysis.
Sure. Okay, not a problem. I'll fix those two things and send it out tomorrow. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you so much, Maria.
Okay, bye.
Okay, let's straighten out our versions before we get into a conversation. So, Michael, which document should we be looking at?
Several people said that I sent originally was locked, which I didn't lock it. So I sent you what we worked on, and I was able to work on it. But if it's locked, I sent some copies of sheets of it that I just copied and pasted into spreadsheets. But it's not the whole thing. So if you can't look at the entire template, I'm not sure what...
Okay, so it's all derived from the same document. The numbers aren't different from one to the other?
No, I just copied. I copied the entire annual budget sheet and pasted it to the spreadsheet. I copied the entire fund drive pledge details and the support collection and something else. I can't remember the same time. Community defense video or something.
Okay, so we're looking at the version that was originally sent September 21st. At 9:19 p.m. Pacific, which would have been received on the East Coast September 22nd, a little bit after midnight. Okay. Michael or Leslie, can you walk us through what changes this document has been through since the last version we saw?
I think Michael...
The version you saw was based on a spreadsheet that relied on the essentially the listener support that showed up for last year and just pasted that in. That you can't do that with the template. So this version is based on the fund drive pledge details, which then produce and then the pledge listener support collection. That produces income figures for each month based on anticipated drive and then how it's spread out over the collection. So if you look at the pledge details, you know, we were looking at kind of a 94% of the goal for most of the months, and then for most of the months also we looked at 82 to 85% fulfillment, which is different from a lot of the previous budgets that have been sent by the station, which was talking about 89 and 90%. Then the pledge collection shows you how that's broken down month by month, and that gets calculated out and entered into the list of support line. So the list of support line on this one is substantially different, although the total I think is about the same, and the total is in line with the average list of support over quite a number of years. It's a little bit less than most limits, almost exactly the same as the average, and a little bit better than what's projected for this year. I think this year is going to be right up there because we have to do a couple of days of fund drive in September. That was probably not in the original projection. And then the total revenue also is in line with the averages for 2011 through 14 that are in there. It's a little over $3 million. There were some other changes in the, I think we put in some website income, broke it out, because it has been broken out previously, and that is the average of the years. And the same for the major donor and donations under 1K. So some of the changes on the income side, and then on the expense side, thanks to Marina and Annette, we were able to figure out how to get the payroll changes that were made into the template, because we had to basically create additional columns because the people's percentage of full-time changed. All the people currently on currently having more than half-time, we reduced the half-time for September and then October, November. And that's being restored in this budget for December, although the potential is there that it was said up to 4 months. It's currently only taken down for the three. So that reduces the personnel costs, as you can see, for October and November on this version of the spreadsheet, and then back up to about what it will be the rest of the year for the remainder. I believe that because of the dropping the free speech TV contract, they ended the contract, so some of the expenses for that are removed from the programming expenses. People have commented on why that was so high, and that's one of the reasons why, and so that's been reduced compared to what we looked at last time. So I think those are some of the main differences.
And are you presenting this budget as a work in progress or as ready for approval?
As far as I'm concerned, with your advice and suggestions, it's ready for approval.
I realize that there's an anomaly in it that I don't know how to deal with, so I'm hoping maybe Efren or somebody can... if you look at the cash flow projections, which I didn't realize until earlier this evening, unfortunately, but it shows us at the beginning of the year with a negative balance of $206,000 in the checking account, which is an artifact of owing a lot of money, I think, to the Central Service. And that is, accrued, but then was not actually paid. So if you begin the year with a negative $260,000 in your account, you have a negative cash balance every single month, practically. But that's an artifact of that track the cash balance at the end of the month. Every month is positive. And if somebody can explain how we can correct that or deal with it.
Okay, we'll take a stack on questions.
I have some questions.
Okay, I've got Efren. Who else?
Can I?
Yes, go ahead, Efren.
Yeah. Let's start with the revenue, because in the annual budget page, let's say if you look at website income, there's a projection of 14,400 revenue, while based on the history of 2014, there is hardly any website income.
I think that's because they didn't break it out.
Same with the major donor, donations, and car donations. They are basically more than what we had experienced, as well as restricted contributions. Now, on restricted contributions, I would like to clarify that the income statement for the restricted contributions should show only the income that we will be collecting from these restricted contributions. Let's say somebody gives a restricted contribution of $50,000. The $50,000 is not income. It is supposed to be shown under the balance sheet as unearned restricted contributions. It is only the interest that you earn that is supposed to be going to the restricted contributions. We should show in the revenue only what you can spend. And what you can spend is all the income that you earn from the restricted contributions.
Well, that's certainly new to me.
And Efren, there's two different types of restricted contributions. There's permanently restricted, which I think is what you're describing, which is endowment gifts, right?
That's one.
But then there are non-operating grants, which are grants that are restricted for a specific purpose, but as soon as the money is spent on that purpose, they're released from restriction.
Yes, right, correct. That's what I am referring to. These restricted contributions, shall we assume that these have been freed of the restrictions, or are these do these represent only the money that was collected, but we still have to comply with certain requirements or restrictions before we can spend?
I think that question's to you, Leslie.
Oh, okay. Yes, it was my understanding that restricted contributions were to specific non-operating expenses, and I put them in in those spaces. So perhaps that does need to be changed. My understanding was it would be any grant that came with a restriction. Now, if that belongs under grant income non-operating, we can certainly move those there.
Efren, what line should it be on?
What line?
Yes, should it be on the restricted contributions or grants non-operating?
If the amount has been freed of the restrictions, then there's no problem with considering it as restricted contributions income.
Okay. So then the question, Leslie, is does this budget show the expense that would be associated with those grants, and does it show it in the same month that it shows the income?
No, it does not. So I take it then it goes to grant income non-operating.
Well, no. So the problem is, you have to bear with me, it's not income until you've spent it. It's somebody else's money that you're holding on to that's designated for a specific purpose, but it's not released from restrictions until it's been spent on that designated purpose. So if all you're showing is the income, it distorts the bottom line of the budget.
Okay. Would you prefer
Does that make sense?
Yes. Would you prefer I put in the associated expenses, because they are tied to specific expenses that mostly equipment expenses that we presented to the LSD that frankly, without that income, we can't guarantee that we can make those, you know, that we're going to actually fulfill those needs, which in some cases are dire.
Yeah, I think that's how KPFT budgeted for its transmitter. They put $200,000 on this line, and they put $200,000 in expense in the same month in their cash and capital section.
But there has to
be an equal and matching expense.
All right, I can get the month that.
You're saying in the month that you book that contribution, you also have to book the expense of it.
Yes. In other words, if somebody gives you a grant and the grant contract says this is to produce a special broadcast on Super Tuesday, and your deliverable is the special broadcast on Super Tuesday, it's a $10,000 grant. That $10,000 is their money until you've delivered the broadcast, even though it happens to be sitting in your bank account. It has donor-imposed restrictions on it.
All right. We can certainly make that adjustment. Okay, as I say, there are, you know, specific needs tied to this, and it will be easy to plug them in. It may back up the restricted income a month or so between the date we receive it and the date we can actually spend it, but that can certainly happen.
Okay, can I talk?
Please continue, Efren.
Yeah, okay. October, this 12,000 restricted contributions is in basically in the next 3 or 4 weeks. Are we definite of receiving this 12,000 in the next 3 or 4 weeks, and that will be clear of any restriction that the restriction would be complied with, so that we can show this as income, restricted contribution income in October?
Not at this time. Unfortunately, that was the, most of this, the core of this budget was done back in June. It was approved by the LSC in August, and although Michael has made some adjustments, this still remains true to what the LSC passed in mid-August. I was hoping by this time to have that grant money in place, and it has not come through.
Anyway, I just want to, because the assuming we show this in the income statement, the auditors will be asking us, this restricted contribution income you report, is this now yours, or are there still restrictions to be complied with? Because my only point is, if we cannot spend it yet, then we should not show it in this particular month, because they have still liabilities or obligations that we still have to meet.
There is still a chance that it's going to come through. I was hoping to hear from the party on September 21st, but I have not yet heard.
Yeah, but I'm not referring only to October. I'm referring to this whole line totaling 44.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I can balance those with expenditures below. I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But only the $12,000, which may end up being $25,000 if things work out the way I hope, will come through in October.
Okay, so there are particular parties from whom we can expect to receive this amount.
Let's say hope. I don't want to mislead anybody on this who might be listening to this call, and you know, frankly, I don't want to make a commitment for somebody who has not made that commitment yet.
Okay, for the purposes of the bottom line, as long as there's an equal and opposite expense amount, and it's understood that the money's not going to be spent until it's raised.
And it has to be capital expenditure?
No, well, it depends on the purpose.
Okay, fine. Yeah, we can do that.
You know, if it's for a fixed asset, if it's for durable equipment, it goes in capital.
Okay.
Efren, did you have other questions?
Basically, that's my main question, that we put in the revenue what we can spend to meet the disbursements or expenses that we project.
Okay. Take us back on KPFK.
Well, I have my question for Efren, because it's about the cash flow forecast tab. which line 46 shows our checking account balance at the end of the month of September as $206,000 negative.
Yeah, we need to revise this
and
because
so that's what I'm asking if you can do that because it makes every other
month
a negative balance, but in fact it's not. It's month is positive.
Precisely, because this was prepared sometime in May or something.
Yes.
We need to update this. First, I'll be emailing all of you tonight the copy of the August income statement that we have. We just completed this afternoon. So we can update the figures here in the June, July, August. So all your projections will only be limited to September. And then the checking account end of month, we will put under this row 46, column AF, the correct amount of the bank statement.
Okay. So that's just to explain why, right now this is showing, you know, every single month thereafter has a negative cash balance, but it's not in fact the case.
Yeah,
I checked the math on it, you know, we have a positive balance.
Yeah. There. I just received this copy last night or this morning, something.
Yeah.
So I never really had the chance to really look at this. But I saw that the income statement, the upper portion of July, August, September, the revenue expenses, we need to change them.
Yeah, okay.
I'll be emailing you tonight the income statement. The August.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Other questions on the KPFK budget? This is Brian, then I have kind of a... Oh, go ahead, Bill.
Well, you can go first if you want. That's fine.
Maybe the same question. You know, it's kind of a big picture question. My subjective impression is that KPFK's on-air fundraising has been in steep decline in terms of its average per day. And this budget seems to be assuming that KPFK can increase the amount of money it raises from fund drives in a year, and that overall revenue will increase by more than 10%. And I'm concerned that that's not prudent to count on that money when planning your expenses.
I'm concerned also.
And I would like to know what your basis is for making those projections.
Well, the basis for making the projections was, in fact, that we were told to base it on last year's income, and we did that. And I, you know, I'll be the first to say that's a challenge for KPFK to, you know, anticipate maintaining its listener support through this time period. We obviously have to make substantive changes in how we do our fund drives. We have to make some changes in our relationships with the communities here in Southern California. But we're in the process of doing that, and, you know, the choices between doing that and making cuts, when in fact the expenses here are bare bones at this point, maintain a fully staffed radio station, I would rather take on the challenge of raising more money than I would in cutting this back because we're, you know, quite frankly, we're at the point that if we cut any more than this, we're not a fully functional radio station. Yeah, that's my perception of where it is, that we just have to do this at this point. We have to figure out how to do it. There's very little in here on the expense side that can be cut. You know, there is a month in December when we can, if we need to, continue the salary cuts, but that's certainly not optimal for station operations. But other than that, this is cut to the bone on the expense side. So the challenge is on the income side. That's my philosophical answer to your philosophical question.
Well, it's not quite a philosophical question. I mean, my counter, I understand, you know, concerns that cutting staffing can do long-term harm to the station. My concern is that if these revenue estimates are too optimistic, we're going to be bouncing paychecks in Los Angeles in short order. because there's not cash left elsewhere in the network to cover another payroll for you all. So I'm seeing 26 days of fundraising in October and then 15 days of fundraising in December with an anticipated pledge rate of $33,000 a day.
Can I speak to that?
Yeah.
So I did send, when we sent the other spreadsheet version of the budget, a kind of review of the fund drive proposals. And basically what we're talking about is quiet drives, sort of as a constant feature of the station. In other words, every show will pitch to the web sort of all the time. So for any of the on-air fund drives, kind of built into the total for the fund drive is actually a quiet drive for the rest of the month. So that's true for December. It's true for May. And so on. So there's no way to show that in the chart except by having a higher average daily goal for the days that are on air pitching, the full on fund drive days. But the estimation is that some of that money is actually going to be raised in the rest of the month through the quiet drive. There's no way to enter that into the template.
We will certainly be exploring alternate revenue streams, but the instructions were very clear that unless they were proven, they couldn't be included here. And we do need to diversify our revenue streams. There's no doubt about that. And the quiet drives are one way of doing it. I am, certainly hopeful that we'll be doing more community events and raising a steady flow of income that way. We need to monetize our web to a great extent, but those are all projects that couldn't be included in here, as I say, with the constraints that we based it on last year. I recognize the problem here. I am not prepared to say to this committee that KPFK can't maintain a fully 24-hour broadcast station with 100-some hours of original programming. I'm not prepared to say that to this committee, and really that's where we're at. We even, I and the LSB need to make the commitment that we're going to do this, or we need to significantly curtail the product that comes out of KPFK.
I want to do a time check. The time certain for WBAI's budget. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We set that for later. We have time. Michael, you can jump in. I did have Bill Lund back after me, and I've heard Adriana as well. And Efren, I'll put back on stack.
Well, I think that in the current fiscal year, we've had, I think, 140 days of on-air fund drives, which is unsupportable, unsustainable. That's why the daily averages have dropped. Every day we add, they go down. We've lost listeners. So this is predicated on 100 days, which is still excessive. But we think that by, similar to what you said, the experience at KPFA was of pledging to reduce the number of days we spend in on-air, on air fundraising, we can improve our daily take again back towards what it used to be.
Okay, I've got Bill, then Adriana. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, thank you. And Leslie, I know you inherited this. I realize this isn't your fault, so I understand that. But I, like Brian was saying, I'm really worried. Actually, I'm worried about both the expenses and the revenue. I think, it's almost like so many of our stations, we're trying to spend every dollar that comes in and hoping for the best. And, of course, that's wonderful. But we've seen expenses go way over budget at your station for the last few years. And I realize you're not responsible for that. But I don't see how you can maintain the level of personnel, for one thing. Maybe you can cut some of the other expenses, but like you were saying, it's probably going to be very hard. And And also, like Michael was saying, I don't think you can, you know, go up to increase the fund drive days again. You get to a point in diminishing returns and you just drive away listeners. And I think your revenue is optimistic, and I think your expenses, I'm not sure how you can, I mean, what we've been heard is the last week or two is that reconciliation's already been done yet for FY14, and I presume not for FY15, and that there's a lot of expenses that aren't even entered yet. So we don't even really know what the expenses are like for FY14 and 15. Maybe Efren can correct me if I'm wrong. But the other thing is that, you know, we, just looking at the bottom, or the net income for the last few years, you know, you've had net losses of, this is so far this year that we know of, $430,000, and loss of $255,000 rounding off for the last year. It may be worse if once all the expenses are entered into the general ledger. Also losses for an average loss of $80,000 for the three years previous to that. So every year the deficit keeps growing. The budget for this year was supposed to budget for a surplus to help pay back some of that. Meanwhile, I know KPFK cannot pay central services. It's hurting all of the network. And, you know, I don't want it to hurt KPFK anymore, but it also has the potential of really bringing down all Pacifica. Plus, it's setting yourself up, it looks like, to what happened to WBI a couple of years ago, is that if a miracle doesn't happen and your revenue doesn't go up and your expenses go way down, you may have really drastic cut back in a few months. As Brian was saying, you might not be able to make payroll, and that would be a real crisis, and I don't want that to happen. So I don't, maybe Efren can respond to some of that too, if he's more aware of how we are on the reconciliations and things like that.
If I may, and Efren, if you want to go first, that's fine. If it comes to that point, and we're all praying it doesn't, then that will require significant cuts. The budget in front of you cut staffing by about 20% over last year. Now, some of that's already in place, went in place this month. I'm hoping the rest will be by attrition. I've had people approach me about buyouts. We can't afford them at this time. But we will revisit that, you know, in the future and see if that's a possibility. So there are personnel cuts built into this budget. There's no doubt about that. Now, you know, you have all heard the furor over the cuts, the temporary salary cuts that we've taken so far. And the effect on programming, you know, and programming to other stations that have come to rely on our programming. So, you know, we're kind of between a rock and a hard place here as one of the two pillars of major stations in the Pacifica network. We have obligations beyond ourselves here, and we're going to try and honor those. Now, I can assure you folks that, you know, there will be no money spent for any project, any promotion or advertising, unless the revenue is there to do it. You know, I can absolutely assure you of that. And our first priority here is to pay off our vendors. We've absolutely got a problem with past subscriptions, past premiums. That's a lot of what these salary cutbacks are about, is to make it good with our vendors as quickly as possible. And I think once we get out from under that debt and we're left with the internal bills, which are budgeted into the, the repayments to central services are budgeted into this, half a month over 12 months, we'll get us there and we'll get us repaid. So, as I say, we are at a tipping point, and if you really want to take this station to a much smaller scale, we can do that. You know, but if you want it to continue to be KPFK, if you want to take a shot at it and hope, you know, and support us in not becoming WBAI and being in that awful position, then this is our budget. you know, and I can cut all of these numbers in half and provide you with a different budget that, you know, might or might not be doable either if we cut back our programming, cut back our services. There's no telling the income will remain at half level if I cut all the programming in half.
I also forgot that I don't see
how you want KPFK to move forward at this point.
Yeah. Also, I don't see anything for severance payments for either this year or next year in the budget.
We have paid all our severance payments to the folks who were laid off.
This budget reflects that cuts were made in September, both the halftime and then. I think there were two severances.
There were two severances, yes. And they both continued.
So that's actually in the current fiscal year. There's no severance carried over into 20.
Well, I don't see anything in FY15 either. Line 45, severance pay for FY15 or 16. Maybe I'm missing something.
No, they're saying they made the layoffs in FY15. Oh, you're saying you don't see it recorded?
I don't see it in the budget for next year. I don't see it in the FY15 column either.
We don't have the income statement. But I cut those checks last week on the 15th.
Yeah, that's not an area that we can affect on this template. You can only put in things in the yellow highlighted squares. And that was not in the template that's sent to us, but...
Okay, but you're not anticipating any more layoffs than next year, I presume.
I'm not anticipating layoffs. There may be buyouts, which is not severance per se.
Okay.
This is Lydia. Adriana.
I've got Adriana, then Efren. I'll put Lydia on behind you, and I just want to note the total personnel costs for 2016 in this budget are actually slightly higher than for 2015.
Why don't I wait?
Adriana, you're next.
Okay. First of all, one question. The income in July, is that 408,000 is a real number?
Income in July 2016?
Listeners, yes.
Yes, we had an emergency fund drive.
Okay. You have in line 24, miscellaneous. What is in that one? What do you include there? Because you have $350 in 2015, and now you are in there $32,000. What is in there?
That's where I'm hoping to monetize the website some more and do some more with our sponsorships of music events that we're doing.
I'd want to comment back on the other question. In terms of personnel, I think the reason the personnel costs are higher is that the budget includes the business manager prospectively, which the business manager position was basically funded as a off the personnel last year as a temporary number to
line 44? Line 44? Did you get it?
Yes.
Okay. We are going to get gross salary. You have 2015 is 1,299 and it's 1,274. I mean, you have only 25,000, but if you go at the line 54, that is the total cost, is even like Brian said before, it's more than 15. I really don't understand how where the cuts are, if you are spending, I don't say that it's not, I don't see it, because you are spending more next year than last year.
If you, I'm sorry, you're talking about personnel costs?
Yes.
Yeah, so there are two things. If you look at, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Line 44 gross salaries is the question.
44 and 54. About 44 are salaries, but 54 is the total cost, the total salaries. And 54 goes from 1803 to 1812.
Well, you have to budget an increase for medical benefits. I can't remember what else. Is it?
If the union contract stipulates an increase in the hourly rate.
Yeah.
And as I say, in terms of what we spent last year, we did not have, we're not paying for a business manager within the personnel, within the salaries. It was put under administrative expenses as an office temp. So if you look back up at personnel costs online, where is it?
44.
Yeah, line 28, personnel expenses, personnel costs. For August, it was $160,000. For September, $109,000. For October, $102,000. For November, $102,000. That's because all the people working more than full-time were reduced. All the people working more than half-time were reduced to half-time staff and management. Looking at line 28, I'm saying personnel costs. That reduction started in the current fiscal year. So in August, the personnel costs were 160. In September, they're 109. In October, they're 102. And November, 102.
But
then it goes back up.
Yeah.
It goes back up because that reduction is a temporary reduction for 3 or 4 months. Currently, only 3 months are in here. If the fourth month is necessary because of not hitting the target goals on income, then that potential is there that, you know, December would also have to be another month of reduced hours.
Okay, next I have Efren.
Yeah, I would like to refer to the premiums. If you would notice, 2015 is projected at almost 280.
Give us a row number reference so we can follow with you.
Yeah. Premiums is row 136, premiums expense. 2015 is projected at almost 280,000. And for 2016,
yes,
it went down from almost 280 to almost 200 or 202. Now, if you go farther to the left, in 2011, 12, 13, they were at higher levels. Unless, of course, there is a plan to change the mechanics of your premiums. If the percentage of premiums incurred in the past will be maintained in 2016, then we need to make a big adjustment in the premiums expense.
Our next fund drive will be based on maintaining our existing programming. We've done a lot of substitute programming with high-dollar premiums, and we're changing that model back to what it's been in years past. Starting with this upcoming fund drive, we've heard a lot of complaints from a lot of listeners that they want their regular programming. So we're going to emphasize that as much as we can, and we're turning on the listeners coming through for what they're telling us they want. The special programming and special premiums have had, frankly, a negative effect on our bottom line in that the money, normally our premiums are priced at 1 to 10. Those particular premiums have been priced as high as 1 to 2. With the idea that they were high profit, but the money, unfortunately, went to other
other areas of the budget and those premiums in the end weren't purchased. So we're doing away with that whole model of high-dollar premiums at this point. We're going to premiums that the programmers develop. We're going to book CDs, DVD tickets. Most stations do for premiums.
A quick follow-up on that, Leslie. The figure of $280,000 projected for 2015 in premiums, how solid is that? Are you all sitting on a bunch of premiums you can't order because you don't have the money?
Yes.
So those expenses haven't been recorded?
No. They're in my payables list. We owe roughly, I believe at last count, $80,000 in premiums, maybe a little less.
And is that all premiums from this fiscal year, from 2015?
Yes. They go back as far as February for one or two of them, but most of them are from April on. And as I said before, that's what I'm hoping that these temporary salary reductions will help us cover, because, you know, we are starting to get feedback from people who aren't going to pledge until they get their premiums.
Right. So I was looking at the budget number as pretty solid, because it looked like you had declining premium expenses, because in 2014 the figure is 354 and the projection for 2015 is 280.
Mm-hmm.
But if the projection of 280 doesn't take into account those $80,000 in unordered premiums, then it's kind of consistently in the 350 range from year to year, and it's a very steep drop to get to 200,000.
I understand that, and, you know, it does take that into account. We really are going back to premiums as gifts and thank yous. We took the station and outside the station, frankly, talk about us as a home shopping network sometimes, and that's hideous and embarrassing. And we are changing that model radically. As I say, we're rolling out with that on October 6th. We're going to do promos. I've met with, had three staff meetings now about it, and we're just changing it up. Yeah, we cannot go forward like this.
I just sent the committee a fund drive comparison that was done for every fund drive from 1990. Every fund drive that was done from 1999 to 2010 for comparison purposes to what's in here from 2011. And what you'll see is that there was a fundamental change in the fund drive mechanism. We were doing million-dollar fund drives quite regularly for a long time. And then as that dropped off towards 2009 and 10, they switched the fund drive formula to higher and higher price premiums and more preemptions and fund drive specials, programming that was just about pitching premiums. That's been and then you see the precipitous drop and daily returns and the precipitous increase in the cost of the premiums. They move the budget out. You look at it in 2013. I think it was budgeted for 280, and the station spent 522 on premiums. And it has to be changed. We're not going to base on that trend. We can't project on based on that. The average of 2011, 2012, 2013 is unsupportable.
Okay, next on stack, I have Lydia. Go ahead.
And John, I
forgot. Okay. So although I agree, for example, that extending fund drives has diminishing returns, obviously, to a certain degree. But as we did last year with several stations, when they were the greatest intentions to keep the fund drives at a certain level, that if you're short, you're just going to have to increase the fund drive days, whether you want to or not. You have to have money, and you are going to keep the doors open. So what I think in relation to KPFK is that we need to have the review of where we are with the budget immediately, I would say, following the fund drive. So I don't think we have the luxury of waiting, you know, 3 or 4 months, you know, or doing our normal quarterly review. I think that we need to have Leslie join us and see, based on what we raise in the fall fund drive, as to where we are, and make whatever cuts are necessary there, and whatever, you know, extensions she will already have made. Extending a fund drive, I would imagine, as an option. But as soon as the fund drive is over, I recommend that Leslie and join us on the call so we can stay on top of this at the Finance Committee. But, again, although diminishing returns, but they're still returns. And if you have to do it, you have to do it. And if you have to make more cuts, you have to make more cuts. So, you know, I think eventually, because of the significant difference in the approach to this budget, more importantly in the approach to the programming and the premiums, et cetera, and the expenses that have been reduced, we will see a turnaround at KPFK.
John?
Yeah, I'm not sure how much people want to hear my comments at this point, because what we called in the Army a short timer. However, I'm listening to this conversation and hear a lot of maybes, we hope for, speculation, and so forth, and this is what has gotten Pacifica into its situation. The bottom line, which Efren has emphasized every conference call with the PNB and with this committee, is that specifically KPFK is not capable of meeting its basic expense of the health benefits and the payroll. If you can't do that, I'm sorry, you have to cut. I mean, to simply speculate and think that maybe we can do this at the end of the fund drive and reevaluate and then make a decision, it simply postpones in many respects the inevitable. I hate to be so pessimistic, but if next week or 2 weeks from now we can't meet payroll, what are we going to do? National Office doesn't have the money. There are no slush funds to take it out of. If we can't meet a payroll, we have incredibly difficult problems to deal with. So I'm just, you know, I hate to be such a negative voice on this, but to think that you know, we can get by without seriously, and not to say that the past work has not been serious, it has been, but it's probably at this stage, if we have to evaluate it today, and that's what we're doing, it probably is not enough. So I just think that realism is still perhaps a little bit not in view at this point. So I'll be quiet at this point. I just need to say that, you know, we need to really face the fact that this is an extremely serious situation. It's not something that's out in the future. It is today, and it's the next week to simply meet payroll, and that is a question we can't avoid.
That's our call for fact.
Tony, what is that?
I've got our Paul, and then I've got Tony. Anyone else want to get on stack? Okay, go ahead, our Paul.
Okay, just a couple of things. It was mentioned before that the vendors are going to be paid, and they're a top priority because you owe them a lot of money. It must be kept in mind that actually payroll is ahead of everything, including
the
vendors.
My point exactly, Paul. Thank you.
Because if you don't do payroll, you know, agencies will come and visit you.
Wait.
You know, it's bad. Somebody else now? I hear somebody else. And I agree with John Proffitt that we have to be realistic and we have to look at this. And it's not like we're projecting it could be bad in FY16. It's already been bad for a couple of FYs here, and so it's not like we're talking about something we're not already familiar with. We've been seeing this going down. In terms of diminishing returns is still returns, that, you know, it's when the diminishing returns get below a certain level, it everything drops out and it's over with. I also question whether quiet drives, as we refer to them, I question whether they're really a free lunch, because people complain about the programming on various stations, including VAI, just begging for money all the time. And, you know, if every program is doing a quiet pitch, I think that can also help to put people off. So maybe, I don't know, somehow we should look and see, you know, maybe so-called quiet drives need to be nuanced in some way, because maybe they are also putting people off, and that could be a problem. Also, I have one final thing here. Someone has suggested that KPFK is not going to get earthquake insurance, which sounds like a real gamble there. Is that the case?
No, we're getting earthquake insurance. The bill's on my desk for $781. I don't know why anyone would say that.
Oh, they say lots of things in Pacifica. best not to spend your time wondering why. Tony is next.
Yes, I think we have a question to Ephraim and Prabhu. I assume you all have reviewed this budget and balancing off, since your revenue is optimistic, what would be your recommendations for cuts that they can consider to bring that, to balance off this optimistic new projection? People have reviewed it, and I'm sure you know what's going on. Station would be to look at its cuts.
I just got this copy, but I'm not sure if it will work because I have not experienced it yet, but somebody, when I was still in KPFK, mentioned like non-premium fund drives. Does it really happen? I don't know. But you have more experience with this matter with the Pacifica. So will that work? That these non-premium fund drives? I heard of it when I was still in KPFK, because that's a lot of money.
You have.
That is one. And another is maybe there has been some change in plans, but just recently, it's basically for all the stations. Most stations are now using call centers for their fund drives. And, well, they cost a lot.
We eliminated the call center.
I'm referring to also to other stations.
Yeah.
In the past, we use the services of the employees. The employees would be receiving their calls, and one advantage of that is that the employees are more concerned with taking care of the incoming calls. If it is the call center, which, as I heard, some call centers do not really respond right away to incoming calls, because it's not their money that they will be missing.
So, Efren, we need to stick on KPFK's budget. They've eliminated the call center from their spending.
Yeah.
Okay.
One.
Hello, this is Tony. Did Mr. Prophet respond? I've got cut off for a minute.
I do have, just briefly, I don't want anyone on this call to misunderstand what I was saying. My inclination, very strong information, is to defer to Leslie's judgment on these things. I'm not criticizing her budget. What I'm criticizing is the general tone of the conversation, which tends to be speculative rather than dealing with reality. And I was just trying to refocus our attention on the reality of meeting payroll and health benefits. As Paul pointed out, that is the priority. It's not paying a vendor is not a priority compared to paying the payroll. nothing supersedes paying the payroll and the health benefit premium. So that's basically why I was kind of ranting there for a second, is to cut to the chase on the fact that payroll is a real problem just in the next couple of weeks, and we've got to figure a way to get through that. But again, my inclination really is to defer to the general manager's judgment on these things going forward. But let's focus on the payroll folks and not speculate on stuff. That's my last comment.